What's up, y'all? This is D'Angelo Russell, and y'all listening to the Drive the Lane podcast. And this is your owner once again, D'Angelo Russell.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. What started as a joke of the Buckeyes are going to make the tournament has become almost a reality. We are getting there. Of course, we're going to talk about that. And that ties in, of course, to the Big Ten tournament, ties into Ohio State's all of a sudden blowout win over Rutgers, blowout win over Michigan. It's been a fun, I think we talked about the Michigan game, but it's been a fun few weeks, a month being an Ohio State basketball fan. Fun really is the perfect word for it. Before we get to all that though, our friends at Butcher's Tap and McGee's, they got some great, great stuff going on for St. Patrick's Day. If somehow you don't have a plan for St. Patrick's Day already, go to the Butcher's Tap, go to McGee's. You have a chance to win a trip to Ireland. Great beer, great food, great drink. Apologies if they're all booked up by the time you go and try to get in there on St. Patrick's Day, because there's a chance it will be all booked up. It's not our fault. We've been telling you about Butcher's Tap and McGee's for a while, but we really need to keep telling you about this Ohio State basketball team. Joey, I'm going to kick it to you. Dominant, dominant win over Rutgers, especially in the second half. That's all you get. Take it from there.
Yeah, well, Andrew, pleasure to be back with you. And let's not take for granted when we get to talk positively about Ohio State basketball, because it's been a tough couple years. And this is the first stretch of like meaningful, relevant, fun, exciting wins in months, at least, if not years, really. So it's been a pleasure and it's an honor to get to have fun conversations with you again. That being said, I'm actually in Arizona right now. Don't have the same Butcher's Tap St. Patrick's Day plans as Andrew does, because I'll be in Arizona still. But I was watching the game with my family, which is always a pleasure. If anybody out there knows watching basketball with the Lane family, it's always a pleasure. Specifically the second half, which was turned out to be a blowout, me and my dad were listening on the radio as we were driving somewhere, which if you haven't had the fortune to listen to Paul Keels and Ron Stokes call a basketball game for 97.1 The Fan, I highly, highly recommend downloading the app so that you can have it on your phone and listen to it, whether you're in Arizona, Chicago, or Columbus, Ohio, wherever you are, you can listen to those guys. And it is a treat to listen to them. And it was amazing. It was an ass whooping. It was a beatdown. It was a bloodbath. The guys played to their full potential at times. Like it was remarkable. Bruce Thornton is so great. Jameson Battle shoots, and every time he shoots it, you think it's going in. Roddy Gale was so solid down the stretch. Scotty Middleton was making big shots. Felix was incredible to start the second half and really just all throughout the game. Like, I could talk about every single person. When you win a game on the road in the Big Ten tournament, or in the Big Ten, awesome. When you beat the shit out of that road team, amazing. When you do it on senior night at the end of the season and get the walk-ons in at the end of the game, you could damn near hang a banner for that. That doesn't happen. That does not. Look around the conference. Did any road team win on senior night in the fashion that Ohio State did? No. Except for maybe Nebraska kind of did. But like, it just goes to show you that Ohio State is hitting their stride in a weird way right now. It's very fun. Throw out the NCAA tournament aspirations, throw out the conversations, throw out Jake Diebler. Like, if you just take into account this basketball team right now, we've said it jokingly, but it is so serious. Nobody wants to play the Ohio State Buckeyes in March. Nobody does. They are playing top five basketball in the Big Ten right now. There are not five better teams in the Big Ten right now than Ohio State, which is pretty remarkable. We're going to get into their seeding and where, you know, the road to a Big Ten title, tournament title, kind of, we'll get into that. But man, this NCAA tournament conversation, there's an argument to be made. It's insane. And we were taught, we actually, like every time, we basically had a whole episode before we even started recording. But the thing that made us stop and click record was when we started talking about what the season could have been if they didn't lose to Penn State on the road when they were up 20 in the second half, and if they didn't lose to Indiana at home when they were up 20. You know, would Holman still be the coach? Maybe, who knows? But assuming they win these games and they win those games, they are firmly on the right side of the bubble. They'd have 21 wins going into the NCAA tournament, and they'd be the sixth seed or something in the Big Ten tournament. But we're not here to play what-ifs. That's just insane, though.
We
are here for what-ifs.
We're here for future what-ifs, though, not past what-ifs. The only thing about that is, obviously, if they win those two games, regardless of who the coach is right now, you also guarantee they've won all the games down the stretch. No, I'm saying, like, yes, if all they did was win those two games and you still win these games, they're in the tournament for sure. Maybe not for sure, but damn near close. But everything is completely different. And I do think I hope that if they lose to Iowa or if they lose to Illinois in the second round, people aren't, you know, sour about the season, which could still potentially happen. As people who like cover this team and watch the team.
I like saying that. I like that.
Yeah, but like we cover the shit out of this team. We watch the team with a different point of view. I'm so annoyed when they're losing because I'm like, this sucks that I have to talk, that we have to talk about this and we have to watch this, honestly, at some points during the season. So if the season ends on Thursday, if the season ends on Thursday, or if the season ends at the end of March, early April, or on Sunday, whatever it is, like, I'm very, very happy from our perspective and point of view that we got the last few weeks of being able to podcast about it.
I'm happy that when you look back at this year, yes, it's going to be the season that Holman got fired in the middle of the year, but it's also the season that Jake Diebler and the team rallied around that and made the season, like, in a weird way, a success also. You know, like, you know, for a guy like Zed Key, who, you know, maybe he uses his next year eligibility somewhere else. Maybe it's at Ohio State. I don't think it will be. Or he goes and plays pro, which is probably a likely scenario. He can leave Ohio State with a good taste in his mouth no matter what happens in the Big Ten tournament. If guys transfer, if, you know, fans, families, whatever, you look at this year at Ohio State, you don't say it's a success unless they win a couple games in the Big Ten tournament and make it into March Madness. But regardless of whether that happens or not, people will look back at this year with the final taste in their mouth. They'll look back at that fondly. You know, they will have a positive outlook on the direction of the program, maybe, or at least, hey, the last month of the season, end of February and the beginning of March, was really fun, like we've said a bunch of times. And I think that there's some solace to be taken from that and positives in what could have been just an epic disaster of a year has turned into a season that has meaning. And there's aspiration still sitting here on the 11th of March. Like, hey, this season could still be something. The story isn't completely written. I think there's a lot to be said about that. And that's a credit to the guys for not giving up, but the coaching staff, spearheaded by Jake Diebler, of course, for making sure that, you know, this family atmosphere stays and that there are games to be played and games to be won, which they've done. So I'm so with you on that. It's been a very fun ride towards the end of the year and gives you enough to say, hey, this season wasn't all bad. It was just mostly bad, but it didn't end bad.
Yeah. And it has a chance to, obviously, if I think we're in agreement that if they make it to the semifinals, having beaten Illinois, and then even make it to the championship, like, we will think they deserve to be in.
But, I mean, we can make a point for them right now, probably.
Right, but with the exception of, obviously, if you win the Big Ten tournament, you are in. Where do you think, and then we'll go game by game and kind of predict how it all shakes out, where would you comfortably, unbiasedly, despite us being the most biased people in the world, say, all right, they're in?
I don't think there's a comfortable answer except for winning the tournament. I like, because a team like Indiana State lost, like, Indiana State deserves to be in ahead of a lot of Big Ten teams as it stands right now. Indiana State played a phenomenal non-conference slate. The eye test, they're a phenomenal team. They won the regular season of the best mid-major conference in the country. Like, there's a lot to be said about a team like that. And that's what makes me a little nervous if I was a Michigan State, you know, if I was an Iowa, excuse me, right? The teams that are on the bubble in the Big Ten, it's like they've always got the benefit of the doubt, but maybe not this year. So that being said, if they win three games, meaning they're playing in, that would be in the championship game, I feel very good about that. If they win two, it puts them firmly on the bubble with a chance, with an absolute chance. But three games, meaning they made it to the championship, is there would be an undeniable argument that they are playing so much better and they're like a different team, you know? And I think that sometimes when like players are hurt or coaches get fired, like that is factored in sometimes in a weird way, either positively or negatively. And I think that could be factored in. But what also comes with that is you beat Iowa, who's an arguably a tournament team. I don't know where they are in the projections as it stands right this second. I know they're on the bubble. But then you beat Illinois, which is undeniably a tournament team. And you beat, you know, Nebraska, or you beat Indiana, or one of those teams that it's going to be a neutral site quad one-esque win, or regardless, it's a win in the semifinals of a power conference tournament, which holds weight. So saying three games, yes, but mostly because of the teams that they'll have to beat to get there are going to be most likely, unless a team makes a run, all tournament teams as well. So it's very interesting. It's very exciting in a weird way. They kind of like all teams have their fate in their hands, but like Ohio State, because they're playing so well, really does have an opportunity to control their own destiny in a weird way, because I can't sit here, and neither can you, and say that when they play Illinois, that Illinois is without a doubt going away way better and should win the game by 10 points. Like, that's just not the truth. That's just not, there's only one team that, and we just beat them, it's Purdue, that I would sit here and go, you know what? I don't know if I would expect us to be in the game for 40 minutes just because they're really, really good. Every other team, they have their flaws. They've lost games that they should have won, and they don't scare me the way Purdue does. I'm glad the draw that Ohio State got, playing Iowa, revenge game, we almost beat them at their place. Like, we can absolutely beat Iowa. There's no doubt about it. There are teams like Minnesota and Michigan State that scare me a little bit more that we could have drew. And then Illinois is the perfect combo of a team that is good enough where it is a great win that turns kind of the tides of your tournament resume, your NCAA tournament resume, but also a team that gives up 85 points every single game, it seems like. And if we play good defense, they're not going to be able to stop us. So it goes both ways. I like our draw. The Big Ten tournament is going to be very fun this year. I Purdue is the favorite, but I think there's so many teams that can compete.
So Lenardi has, and his is just the most in-depth with like a bunch of different tiers. He has Ohio State at win here and then win again. He has Iowa at out without this win. And then the next category is win and in. So essentially Ohio State, if you're just looking at the Lenardi stuff, you'd say if they win this game, they have a chance to, based on the fact that they'd be jumping Iowa, you know, other teams could lose. They could potentially be looking at a beat Illinois, and you're actually
Michigan
in.
State could have lost to Minnesota, right? And they could be firmly out. Yeah.
Right. Totally. So a lot could happen. Obviously it would be a very timely win for Ohio State too, like based on when the committee and everyone, they're all looking at that stuff. But I want to go.
It's amazing that we're having this conversation.
It is. But it's also kind of funny because last year we had the conversation because they won their first few games of the Big Ten tournament. But this is different. This is, you have a chance to get in without.
There are expectations now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're the lower seed. There's definitely a chance that they're favored against Iowa.
I kind of think the four bottom seed teams, like none of, just to fast forward a little bit, none of those teams have a guy where you're like, well, if that guy gets hot, you know, they got a chance. So like they've been terrible down the stretch. They're not good. Maybe they've won a game here or there, but like Michigan, you have no confidence in. They could be the team this year that plays on the first day and wins a few games. Penn State's won a few games in key moments. Rutgers and Maryland really have not been anything special. But once you hit, you know, those second round games, the teams that are there currently, I do think like those teams, you wouldn't be surprised if any of them made a run.
The one thing that I'll say, and I agree, I think just briefly, Rutgers sucks and Michigan sucks. We know that. It's very apparent Ohio State just played the teams back-to-back. Penn State, sneaky, has some dudes. Ace Baldwin, like, they shoot a lot of threes. Like, they got some dudes, but I'm with you there. Maryland, they don't shoot the three ball very well. Second worst ahead of Indiana in the Big Ten. But Jameer Young can go and win you a game. And I think that their draw, if I was a Maryland fan, knowing I need to win the tournament, granted, I don't think they're going to win the Big Ten tournament, but Rutgers stinks. We know that. We just said that. They beat Rutgers. They play Wisconsin, who is not playing well, right? So they beat Wisconsin, and they have Northwestern. They don't have to play Purdue until the semis. So it's, I mean, they got to win 5 games in 5 days. I mean, it's insane. But, like, Maryland's got one dude, Jameer Young, that I really do think could carry them to win 1, 2, 3 games. Wouldn't be insane to me. But other than that, you're right. Once you get to the second column where you've got Minnesota and Dawson Garcia and their guards are great, Michigan State obviously with Tyson Walker, Wisconsin's got a handful of those guys, Ohio State we know, Iowa we know, Indiana, their bigs are great, and Trey Galloway's turned awesome, and obviously the top four teams are the top four teams for a reason. Like, I'm with you. There are more dudes as you move over, obviously, but the only guy I think at that beginning stage is Jameer Young. I think he's got some Bruce Thornton and him. Bryce Sensabaugh-ish could maybe make a run. I think the tides are changing where it's not impossible to make these runs in these tournaments because the teams are so good now from top to bottom in every league. Yeah. There's so many good players on every team.
I would say, despite everything you just said, I would be more surprised if Maryland is playing Northwestern on Friday than I would be if they lost to Rutgers.
With you on that. Yep. I would not bat an eye if Rutgers wins 44-40.
Yeah. And I wouldn't bat an eye if you know what would happen is Michigan goes on a run and beats Ohio State and then they're not in the tournament. But we don't think that's going to happen because not only is Michigan but they are the worst team in the Big Ten. They're terrible. Terrible. And I'm confident in not like jinxing anything because they would have to win a bunch of games against good teams. I'm doing extra of this now. But as we hit that second round and we got Minnesota, Michigan State, Wisconsin, winner Rutgers, Maryland, Ohio State, Iowa, and then Indiana, winner of Michigan, Penn State. We will never in a million years not take Ohio State at this stage of the tournament, at least. As we get lower down, this may be.
And because they are genuinely playing really good basketball. Right. I mean, Payne Sanford's unbelievable. Tony Perkins, they're great. But like Ohio State, you don't want to play Ohio State in March. I don't know if people understand that. So it does.
What is weird though is like it feels like all, how many teams would that be? 2, 4, 6. It feels like all 8 remaining teams could potentially be, or 6 of the 8, 7 of the 8 could be playing for, you know, their tournament lives. Like Indiana, people in the Indiana world think they have a chance to make the tournament without winning the Big Ten tournament. Obviously, Michigan State and Minnesota fans feel that way. Wisconsin fans definitely feel that way. Iowa fans probably feel if they win this game, they're in. So it's not like Ohio State's the only team in this situation. Going off of that, we don't have to say like this team's going to win, this team's going to win. We can kind of go in stretches, but who are the teams that you think at least advance to, you know, the quarterfinals on Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting matchups. I think that Minnesota and Michigan State, like, this is just a game that Izzo just won't lose. You know, Minnesota is so freaking good. They're so fun. Cam Christie, like, that team has been built so well. I wish all the guys were coming back next year, because they'd be a preseason, like, dark horse in the Big Ten, but they're not. They have more than enough to beat Michigan State, but I just don't think – I think Izzo is in, like, a win-and-you're-in situation. I don't know if Joe Lunardi has him right there, but it sure feels that way. So I think Michigan State wins that game. Maryland, if they beat Rutgers, can give Wisconsin a better fight than Rutgers can. So we'll see what happens there, but I'll take Wisconsin there. Obviously, I'm taking Ohio State, which we already talked about. I think few teams are playing better than them. Like, it's funny because one thing that we haven't mentioned yet that I think is so interesting is, you can say whatever you want about this team, but Bruce Thornton, Roddy Gale, Felix Akpara, like, Zed Key, even though he was on the bench last year, like, the DNA of them is, like, we go to the Big Ten tournament and we win games. Like, that's what we do. That's all we know. You know, they won a handful of games last year. So I think them having that mindset and the prior knowledge of how to win, and they know how it feels. They know what it takes. They've played meaningful Big Ten basketball tournament games. I think they beat Iowa, even though Iowa's in that win and you're in. And I think Indiana beats whoever. They're playing so well right now. They beat whoever, Michigan State or Penn State. I think where it gets interesting is, will any of those teams that won that game upset any of the top four? And that's what I'm interested to hear what you think there.
So I think Indiana has a chance to upset Nebraska. And it's strictly based off of, I told you, when it gets to March, I look at numbers and stuff much more than I test. I fall in love with players too much. Nebraska has 22 wins, and 18 of them are at home.
Yep.
So such a good point. That's not like a fluky thing. That's like they win at home. But yes, they've only played 11 road games versus whatever it is, they've played 19 home games and 11 road games. Most teams have similar splits like that, but, and I don't know what percentage of the road games are neutral site or, you know, exhibition tournaments, that kind of stuff, but they don't scare me nearly as much as they do at home. And I feel like that was reflected in the Big Ten tournament season as well. They went 12-8, and, you know, all
they won at home and they lost on the road.
Right. So I don't think of the teams, they scare me the least of the top four teams. And not to mention that Ohio State just beat them. So, but they also,
I do, for whatever it's worth, in that game specifically, if it is Indiana, Nebraska. Nebraska shoots a lot of threes and plays fast. Indiana shoots no threes and plays slow. So, I mean, Indiana, I'm pretty sure Nebraska walked into Assembly Hall and beat the shit out of them. So I think that that's relevant, just because the contrast of style. I believe in Nebraska. I believe in Nebraska in a weird way. I think Hoiberg is the coach of the year. Nebraska is going to have a chance to win their first NCAA tournament game ever. They play so hard. They're physical. They shoot threes. Like, maybe the neutral site will be a little bit, nicer to them than a road game will be. But Indiana can definitely win that game, just like Ohio State can beat Illinois. I just don't think Wisconsin can beat. Of course, Wisconsin can beat Northwestern. I'm going to take Northwestern, and then I'm going to take Purdue versus whoever they play, because Purdue's a juggernaut. And I think Purdue is going to be playing in the championship. It's just a matter of if it's against Illinois or somebody else. I think that's just kind of what it boils down to.
If I agree with you. If Illinois plays Ohio State, you're playing the hottest team in the country And there's an argument to be made as it's the, you don't want to see the Buckeyes, but like if they play Iowa, and this is kind of hedging our Ohio State bets a little bit. Like I think Illinois, I think it's Illinois versus Purdue in the championship, unless Ohio State is mucking stuff up like they did last year, like they've been doing the last few weeks, the last month. But I don't think winner of Nebraska, Indiana will beat Illinois. I don't think winner of Northwestern, Wisconsin, or if it's Maryland will beat Purdue. So I do think, and oh, what a crazy prediction. The one and the two seed are on a collision course for, you know, the Big Ten championship.
Two best teams all year. Like I'm with you there. I will
it just
say,
feels like a chalk year.
Yeah, I'm with you. Just to play devil's advocate, and not even Ohio State's sake, saying this generally speaking, the Big Ten tournament is so weird with the double bye that there is a real deal rust versus rust sort of debate. And it's not necessarily because guys, you know, that second game in 2 days is not as physically taxing. It's when you get to three or four games in 4 days, right? Three games in 3 days, 4 games in 4 days. From my experience, having a game under your belt is a huge, huge advantage because you won the game, right? So like you're playing well in theory. You've played in that arena that the other team has not played in, right? It's a bit, it's not a Big Ten stadium that seats 10,000. It's an NBA arena. You know what it feels like. You've gone through the routine, you know, getting to the stadium, the locker room, all that is very familiar to you. You've gotten a few nights rest in that hotel. Like you're just more comfortable with all that. And obviously the rims and the environment, and like you're not nervous. You have nothing to lose at that point. Right. Like I think there's a real advantage to playing early. And I think that whether it's Indiana versus Nebraska or Ohio State versus hopefully in Illinois, like it's a real advantage that Ohio State is going to have a game under their belt, assuming they're playing good basketball, assuming they're shooting the ball well. You know, Illinois won't know that they're playing Ohio State until Ohio State wins that game. But Ohio State will know that they're playing Illinois, assuming they win, you know, and the coaches will have the managers prepping a game plan for them so that when they get back to the hotel, boom, it's on. Like they are prepping for Illinois already. So it'll be interesting. I agree with you though. Taking off my Ohio State hat, I see the chalk. I definitely see the chalk. Lord knows it won't be that way, but I see the chalk. And I think Purdue at the end of the day is cutting down the nets. Like they're on a mission. I think Purdue is on an absolute mission.
Yeah. And we will obviously come back and do a little, not even a little, a big March Madness preview.
I do think I'm not going to sit here and 100% guarantee a space, but I think a space before or after the Thursday game for Ohio State is definitely in play.
I would guarantee it doesn't happen. I am going to be potentially on an airplane. And okay. So I would cancel that, but I would not rule out a space after they win the Big Ten championship.
Okay. Fuck yeah. Set your alarms.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else we need to cover? I mean, we kind of both think Purdue will be the champs. We both think Ohio State can make a run. We both think, it's hard to think back prior years. Like, I don't remember if it's been chalked the last few years. Obviously, I remember Ohio State mucked it up, but then it was Penn State versus Purdue, and Penn State really was the second best team last year with Pickett, you know? So, like, I don't remember what the seeds were, but I remember thinking that those were the two best teams. And then you go even back few years before that, like you just kind of you start forgetting. Like it may not be more chalk than normal, but I just think I agree with you that Purdue is absolutely on a mission, and I think it's going to carry all the way into the NCAA tournament, and I do think they have a real chance to win that. But we will do We should do it. We should have our brackets done and release an episode Wednesday morning. So if people want to take our bracket advice, and obviously we may make changes, but if people want to take our bracket advice, we give them at least a day to get that under control.
That sounds great. I would definitely, if Ohio State makes the NCAA tournament, whatever that means, right? Maybe they won three games. Maybe they won the Big Ten tournament. Like, I would expect an episode probably on Monday.
Absolutely.
Like a surprise emergency episode. But a NCAA tournament preview Wednesday sounds great. I'm in for that.
Yeah. I just mean at the absolute latest, we'll have an episode out by Wednesday. Yeah,
I agree. Last thing, the Jake Diebler interim coach saga. I love him. I want him to be the coach so bad. We agree on that. It's definitely a possibility. My statement to Ohio State fans everywhere is to not get too excited about Diebler ball. We've talked about it a lot, me and Andrew. I think my statement as a former player, my stance is that I would he was my video coordinator. We've talked about it. Like, I love him. I would love nothing more than for him to be the head coach of Ohio State basketball. I think he's a great recruiter. He knows basketball. He's so good with the guys. Like, people just love him and gravitate towards him. I want him to be the coach. What I'm afraid of is the new AD just fired a guy and is paying him $13 million. He's not just going to hire his assistant. He's going to want to make a splash. He's going to want one of his guys, right? I don't think that goes away. I still think Dusty May is kind of the guy, but the Diebler saga, that's the update there. But man, the boys are playing some ball. 5-1 officially under Diebler now. It's just insane. So who says they can't just keep it rolling? So we'll see what happens. But man, it's going to be a fun few days. Me and Andrew will be on Twitter all the time. You'll be seeing, hearing from us a lot. And it's the best time of the year, Andrew. Happy March Madness to you.
Happy March Madness to you as well. It is the best time of the year. I think you should do buckle up, drive the lane, go Buckeyes. I think you should say, obviously, game at a time, but we do know who the second opponent should be. So I'll leave it up to you. If you want to throw a line eye in there, obviously we're not going to get crazy and go, you know, one round past that or anything like that. But I do think it is appropriate to also mention the alumni. So you got about 12 seconds to kind of decide what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Hawkeyes. Survive in advance.